This is your NPR station, 90.3 WBHM, Birmingham. I'm Andrew Yeager. Two statewide constitutional amendments on the November ballot have already generated debate among legal scholars. One involves the public display of the Ten Commandments, the same issue that led to the removal of former Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore from the bench in 2003. The other amendment deals with abortion. Approval of these measures could potentially set the stage for future legal challenges. Stephen Brown teaches constitutional law at Auburn University. I spoke with him about those amendments, and we begin with the Ten Commandments.
It does authorize, in contrast to Supreme Court opinion, that you could go ahead and put Ten Commandments display maybe on the state capitol grounds, maybe in a public park, maybe inside schools. So all those have been the source of legal challenges in the past.
And so this would just say you can do this, but it's got to be within existing rules?
Well, it does. And I guess the Alabama legislature was aware of is that the court hasn't been completely consistent with this.
Do we have any guidance on what are acceptable displays of the Ten Commandments?
We do. And it comes not only from the Supreme Court, but even from a local angle, Judge Myron Thompson. Judge Myron Thompson was the federal judge that had told Chief Justice Roy Moore that the washing machine-sized Ten Commandments monument that had been placed in the state judicial building was not appropriate. What the court has said, basically, it all has to do with the intent. If there's a religious intent behind it, then you're going to be on questionable constitutional grounds. If it's a historic display about law, and this simply happens to be one of the displays in that historic display about law, I think the footing is a little bit more solid. But if it's religion, and you're going to just pepper it with all these things around it to make it look like it's a law display, if the intent behind it all along was a religious intent, then I think it will be suspect.
Well, there's another part of this amendment that says it prohibits the expenditure of public funds in defense of the constitutionality of this amendment. What do you make of that?
That's a curious line to put in there, because if you're going to pass a law, you would presume it's constitutional. And if it's not, you're going to defend that law. One of the ways to look at this also is that there are groups out there that finance challenges, legal challenges for conservative reasons and for liberal reasons as well. And that may be what legislators who approved this were banking on, is that a conservative group would pick this up, would finance the legal challenge, and take it all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, turning to Amendment 2, this deals with abortion or right to life, depending on how you want to term it. And it says that it is the public policy of this state to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children. It goes on to say the Constitution of this state does not protect the right to abortion or require the funding of abortion. Does this do anything different legally or practically?
Well, again, it's kind of a curious amendment, because the Supreme Court has spoken both in Roe v. Wade and more recently in its Casey decision in 1992 about abortion, about the constitutionality of abortion. And so in my opinion, this amendment right now on its face is actually unconstitutional. It seems to be banking on future changes in terms of Supreme Court precedent. But to pass this now and to assume it's constitutional, I think, is presumptuous. I think on its face right now, it is not constitutional, and it will be challenged. And as long as those previous precedents stand, I think it will fail.
We have recently seen Justice Brett Kavanaugh come onto the Supreme Court that turns the court in a more conservative direction than it has been. Assuming there are changes to how abortion law is interpreted, what might that mean if this amendment were to pass?
Well, so that's a great question. Just on the Justice Kavanaugh point, again, Roe v. Wade, 1973, that's been superseded by the Casey decision of 1992. And so Roe v. Wade, at its heart, is still good law, but a lot of the parameters no longer are. But the plurality opinion in the Casey decision was written by Sandra Day O'Connor, a Republican appointee, Justice Souter, a Republican appointee, and Kennedy, a Republican appointee. So I'm not sure people can count on either a Gorsuch or a Kavanaugh or someone else ruling in a particular way.
These are hot-button issues. Do you see these amendments motivating folks to get to the polls one way or the other?
Well, midterm elections are always tricky anyway. There's usually a lower turnout in midterm elections. It could generate some in certain instances, but I think others would not go just for this. If they're going to go vote, it's for other reasons.
That's Steve Brown. He teaches constitutional law at Auburn University. You can find summaries of all of this year's statewide constitutional amendments at our website, wbhm.org.